Keep on praying. Keep on praying. Just the other day, we had a conversation. I think it was a deacon's meeting, and I was also wondering this beforehand, and by no means for the first time, how does God deal with all those prayer requests from all the people in all the countries, all over the world? And all of which brought me to thinking about one of my favourite movies called Bruce Almighty. Okay? Now, Bruce Nolan is the main character, played by the rather fabulous Jim Carrey. Well, the character in this movie lives as if the whole world revolves around him. He's a reporter, and his dream is that he's going to get the top news job. He's going to be the anchor for the television company. But Bruce, unfortunately, fails to get the job. And so one night, while Bruce is desperately complaining to God, berating God nonetheless, complaining about the way God runs the world. Now, which one of us hasn't done that at some point or other? So God, and do you remember who played God in the film? It was somebody that looks like Denzel Washington. It was Morgan Freeman. Morgan Freeman, yeah. Anyway, so God meets with Bruce, and he gives him the opportunity for 1 week to run the universe. Okay, so you may remember from the movie that Bruce really does go to town on his newfound abilities and puts them quite typically to some quite self-centered and, we might say on occasion, naughty uses. It's going to make you want to go and see the film now, isn't it? If you haven't. And then, of course, he turns to another of the things that God is known for. Hearing and answering people's prayers. All those prayer requests. Millions of them start flooding in. And Bruce is overwhelmed by this. Of course he is. And he thinks out loud, and he comes up with a cunning plan. I know, let all the prayers be organized into files. And immediately thousands of files fill up his house. So Bruce thinks, okay, I know. What about prayer post-it notes? Everything in sight is instantly covered in yellow post-it notes, and Bruce is transformed into a giant yellow mummy. His next idea, prayer email. So his computer says, you've got prayers. And his computer begins downloading the requests, and of course, thousands upon thousands pour in. His computer says, the next morning, that there are 1,527,503 prayer messages. Bruce uses his great powers to reply to the requests at superhuman speed. Surely I must have made a dent, says Bruce. And so he checks his progress and finds that over 3 million have come in since he began. So his final solution, if we can put it that way, to the mountain of prayers is to say yes, yes, yes to everybody's prayer, yes, yes to everyone. There you go. Now everybody's happy. Wrong. The end result, of course, is worldwide chaos and conflict. And naturally, everyone believes that their prayers should be answered at the expense of other people's prayers. And it makes you ask that question, who would be God? And in the end, Bruce realizes something quite fundamental. Something that I hope you've realized. Bruce realizes that he is not God. So, he's relieved about that, and thankful about it. There's thanksgiving. And he comes humbly, eventually, before God, and Bruce learns how to be honest, at last. And in his praying and in his prayers and in this new honest incarnation, Bruce admits, well, I'm really not up to much, God. There's confession. Bruce needs help. Finally come to realise that. And we see Bruce beginning to pray not just simply for himself, but for the needs of others. And there you see in this really dark film, you see intercession. So all the different forms of praying. I was reminded of the man in the story here that we just read from Luke chapter 11. A story through which we learn something about what God the Father is like, his character, firstly, and then something of what prayer is for, why we do it, its purpose, and thirdly and finally, in the moral of the tale here and elsewhere in similar stories in the Gospel, the moral is that we learn that come what may, we should not stop praying. We learn, come hell or high water, that we should never give up. Because let's face it, all of us have felt like it at some point or other, giving up. And I think Jesus tells these kinds of stories and other stories because he knows full well just how prone we are to giving up, especially when we don't get the answers that we want. So the first point is God is our Father. That's how we, who are his children, are to address him and how we can best come to him. God's children want to pray to him. They have a desire to do this. We recall the disciples at right at the beginning of the passage asking Jesus, saying to him, Lord, please teach us how to pray. They want to pray. They want to talk to God. And Jesus often explained how it was that the Father wanted to listen to them as well. Just as any good parent or carer would listen to their own children or their own charges. And one thing we can be absolutely certain of with this God who is our Father, he hears the prayers of his children. Of course, God wants us to come honestly, but also to come boldly before him. Just the same way as the man came banging on the door of his neighbour and friend. And the Bible tells us that unlike the reluctant and cranky neighbour at midnight in this passage, God does not slumber. God never sleeps. You don't have to keep doing that to get God's attention. He doesn't need to be roused from bed in the middle of the night. And he's not grumpy when he's woken up. No, really, he can't wake up because he's always awake, isn't he? I'm grumpy when I'm woken up. Please, don't wake me up when I'm in a deep sleep. I get grumpy, just like the man in this passage. He's not a reluctant God. He loves his children and as a good father will always give good gifts to his children, give them what they need. And had Liam been here, I would have gone into something like, you can't always get what you want, but you get what you need, Rolling Stones. And he would have got that straight away. But he will answer prayer. But in his own way, we find, and in his own timing, God is our Father. Second point is this is a question, really, what's prayer for? This passage that we've been reading pictures what prayer is and why we should do it. So what's it for? I think everybody has some idea about prayer. I've got the idea that somehow it is hardwired into human DNA, even to those who don't know or worship God. You'll see something which looks very much like prayer and worship on the terraces of Turf Moor at least every couple of weeks. Something which looks very much like prayer and supplication and desperation and praise and all sorts of things and adoration And lament if you're a Burnley fan. Prayer is not the last resort. It should not be something done only when we are in desperate need or when we're after something that we really want for ourselves. But we see ourselves in these sentences, don't we? And if we're honest, our prayers are very often a bit like a selfish shopping list of the things we would like, or the things that we think God should think that will be good for us. Do you remember a game called Knockdown Ginger? You probably didn't call it that up here, but it was a game that we used to play down south, because I'm a southerner, where you'd go to old Mr. Grumpy's door. And then you'd run away! You ever play a game like that?
Knock and run!
We used to call it Knockdown Ginger. There you go, you learned something, didn't you? Knockdown Ginger. You knocked on somebody's front door really loud, and then you run away laughing and hide, and the person comes to the door, and they're always asking, where are you? 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 And other things like that. Our prayers shouldn't be like this silly and irritating game, really, God is saying, where we knock only once or occasionally and then disappear. And it's hard, isn't it, when we're desperate. It's hard to pray. It's hard not to worry when we're desperate, when we've got that thing on our mind and it won't go away. But Jesus is saying, no, you must not give up praying. He encouraged his listeners to keep at it. Keep asking, he says. Keep seeking, keep knocking. A gracious God gave us prayer as the means to know him. And most often we do this through God's word, through scripture. Then we will never, unless we do that, we will never really build a good understanding together. Because what is prayer for? Prayer is also for building a relationship. When we pray, we are interacting with a person. We've made that point in a number of messages recently. Salvation is a person, hope is a person. When we pray to a person. That person just happens to be, by the way, the one who created the heavens and the earth. And so it's a relationship, but clearly it's not a relationship of equals, is it? Because we've come to the conclusion that we're not God. At least I hope we have. I wonder whether people laugh at you when you tell them that you pray to the Lord. But sadly, I think they only do that because they don't as yet have a personal relationship with God. Prayers are offered by people who have a personal relationship. If you don't pray much, the truth is you don't have that good a relationship with God. And a quote that I wrote down this morning, the things you pray about are the things you care about. So I keep praying to myself. And nothing else. If we don't talk to God or listen to him, we can't have that relationship. A good relationship, you know, you people that have been married 50 years plus, a good relationship will take some work, Janet, won't it? Yeah. Eh? Some patience. Yeah. Aye. And it'll say, give and take. Isn't that true, Victor?
Yeah.
Oops. Is that God calling? Speaking. Oh, is that where I was speaking? Hearing. Listening. Listening to wife. More often than you're not. More often than you do. And sometimes, in the front room, there's silence. Isn't there? Especially when her indoors is nagging. After a while, seriously, after a while, you may come to understand that what God wants and what you want are really rather similar. It's like if you spend 50 years together, you get to know each other, you know each other's ways. If it's going to work, you'll end up wanting pretty much the same things, won't you? Prayer is not so much us getting our own way so much as it is learning God's way. Thy will. It's a sign of a good relationship. We see the man banging on the door of a friend. There are three mentions of the word friend here. If you want to bang on someone's door in the middle of the night, well, it will help your cause greatly if it's your friend's door that you're knocking on. So what is prayer for? We could be here forever, couldn't we? But plainly, prayer is also for others. The man comes to his friend because the man realizes that he himself doesn't have what he needs. He doesn't have the bread. He doesn't have the resources. And that's why we come to God in prayer, because we just don't have the resources. A bit like Jehoshaphat saying, oh Lord, we don't know what to do. This hoard that's facing us is so great, but we call to you and we look at you because we know you know what to do about it. He doesn't give up, and neither should we. How often we become, and of course I speak for myself, how often we become discouraged when nothing seems to change. When I pray for my wife to be healed the last 13 years, and she hasn't, and she hasn't, and she hasn't, and she hasn't. I get angry with God. So, thirdly, why should we keep praying? The best reason is because God says so. The best reason is that Jesus said so. He knows what's best for us. John Stott said this. He said, God will answer no if the things we are asking for are either not good in themselves, or not good for us, or they're not good for others, directly or indirectly. We don't always get to know the reason why the answer is no. And we all know this. God sees things eternally. And there are some things that we will never understand in this lifetime. But one thing we do understand is that God hears all prayers. And in one sense, he does answer all of our prayers. We don't always receive what we ask for. When we ask God for something, the response will be yes. It might be quick or long. It might be no. It might be quick or long. Or it might be wait. And so much of our life is about waiting. I want to end this with a poem. Don't know who wrote it, but I think they knew what it was like. I dreamed many dreams that never came true. I've seen them vanish at dawn. But I've realised enough of my dreams, thank God, to make me want to dream on. I've prayed many prayers when no answer came. I've waited patient and long, but answers have come to enough of my prayers to make me keep praying on. I've drained the cup of disappointment and pain. I've gone many days without song, but I've sipped enough nectar from the rose of life to make me want to live on. So thank you, Lord, for saying no when my want list for things far exceeded my longing for you. When I asked for a stone, foolishly certain that I had asked for bread, thank you, God, for saying no when I asked you to leave me alone. Gracious God, our Father, we thank you. Help us, your children, to be the people who do pray as individuals, in families, and in this fellowship. Help us to grow, Lord, in our knowledge and love of you and in our self-understanding. Grant us persistence in prayer to you and for others as for ourselves, till we see the results of all those prayers in the kingdom which shall surely come. We pray through Jesus, who cleared the way, and we pray in the power of the Spirit he gave. Amen.